Let's take our Bibles tonight and turn over to the book of 2 Thessalonians, please. 2 Thessalonians. I appreciate your prayers, and the trip went well. I didn't have to sit on a tarmac this time for 4 hours just to be told to go get you a motel room. So that was a blessing. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 1. We've kind of been through the book of 1 Thessalonians, and the Lord's leading us this way this evening. In the first chapter, there's 12 verses. Let's read them together. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, and God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We're bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you also suffer, seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you, and to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord, and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints, and to be admired in all them that believe. Look at this little parenthesis right here. Because our testimony among you was believed in that day. You have 2 Thessalonians chapter number 1, because the Apostle Paul, on his missionary journey, went to Thessalonica and shared with them what Christ had done for him. And now there's a church in Thessalonica because they believed what he told them. Amen. Our job as Christians is to share with someone else what God has done for us. Amen. Now watch this. Wherefore also we pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and ye in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Pray with me just a moment. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the Spirit of God that makes the Word of God real to us. Thank you, God, for the church tonight. Now I pray, Father, tonight that you would make this pastor a blessing to his people. God, I pray you'd make the Word of God a blessing to each one of us tonight. God, I pray that as we stand here tonight, you'd clothe us in our calling. Help us to say everything you want us to, and to leave off anything that would be contrary to your will. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I'm looking tonight. Jesus is coming. And that's what we've been talking about in 1 Thessalonians. And then I noticed also that in every chapter in 2 Thessalonians, the coming of the Lord is mentioned as well. But what I'm looking at tonight in light of current events, things that have happened over the last month and a half or so, I'm looking at a little phrase down here, and I know that I've preached from this before. It'll never come the same, I guarantee you that. But I want to magnify a little phrase down here. The Bible said, I believe, let's see, in verse number 7, and to you who are troubled, rest with us. Rest with us. How many knows tonight that in the world there's a lot of unrest? I mean, a lot of unrest. And I'm going to show you something tonight that I wasn't even aware of till I studied this early on. But I think about, you know, this just recent days, it started with that hurricane, the Harvey there in Texas, and the torrential rains. And it wasn't as bad as I thought in the area where Brother Brian was. There was just probably a couple of blocks where the sheetrock and furniture and stuff was piled up in the median about that high, and they got that scooped up before I left there. But who knows how much they scooped up between the hurricane and then. I'm not sure, but I was just looking for it to be a lot worse even in that area than it actually was when I got there. God knows the damage. But you think about the people that were put out of their homes, the people that lost things that they cared about. You know, a lot of families have a lot of pictures put up and things of that nature, things that are dear to their heart, things that you can't replace. And they lost that. You think about the things that happened not only in that area there, but you think about the things that happened in the hurricane that came through Puerto Rico, I believe it was, and then Mexico City. There was a earthquake, and they just found the last body, they believe, today from that earthquake. In other words, the world, there's just a lot of unrest in the world. And think about it. And then we think about that senseless shooting where 59 are already dead and over 500 are wounded. I told my wife, one young lady there testified about how her husband put her in front of him and put his arms around her, and they were going away from it, and she heard the bullet hit her husband. It might have been a boyfriend, I'm not sure. But anyway, heard the bullet hit him, and he fell dead behind her. And so she knows that he gave his life to save her life. Our prayer ought to be that those people that survived will know that Jesus gave his life that we might have eternal life. Amen. And get interested in another city. Somebody help me right there tonight. Amen. God has a city. Amen. A new Jerusalem. Amen. And we ought to be interested in that. Then right here at home, the explosion today. And I tell you, Bob sent me I didn't even know about it. And he sent me a text, said, "Did you hear about the explosion at the Eastman?" Well, my boy works day shift there. No, I hadn't heard anything. And so I began to look at the news articles and things. And it wasn't too long until they were coming out and saying that no one was injured. And I thank God for that. And then my boy called. I got to hear his voice. What a blessing that was. Amen. You say, "Preacher, you don't believe there's any unrest among Christians?" Yes, I do. And I'm going to show you something tonight that I didn't realize existed. Show you a couple of verses of Scripture. First of all, Jesus, we know this one's here. "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest." How many remembers when Jesus gave you rest? This is the Apostle Paul writing now to the church in Thessalonica. In 2 Corinthians 2:13, Paul said this, "I had no rest in my spirit." Can you believe that? A man of God such as Paul got to a place in his life where he had no rest in his spirit. It happened again in 2 Corinthians 7:5. He said, "For when we were coming to Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Without were fightings." Watch this now. He said, "Within were fears." You see, well, I'm going to tell you something right now. Listen to me. From the pulpit to the pew, there's a lot of God's people that won't admit there's some fear raises up in there at times. There's some things, some uncertainty, some unrest that raises up in there at times. That precious mother, Sister Kay, that taught Sunday school over at Wise, taught my children the Word of God. She's standing there with her son today with all that uncertainty, Brother Preston, about that leukemia that's come back, just praying it'll go in remission and praying they can do another. I'm telling you, there's a lot of unrest in the world. But the Bible said Jesus is coming. And my friend, listen to me tonight. Paul said that on you who are troubled.
He said, rest with me. Honey, I'm telling you tonight, he's coming. And there's a rest in that thought tonight. Listen, the world knows nothing about it. The Bible said, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. The Bible said of the wicked in Isaiah 57, but the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. You say, preacher, what's going on in the world? I'll tell you what's going on. Same thing that went on in Cain's heart. The mud and the dirt is being stirred up, amen, in hearts and lives because there's a world at unrest, amen, because of the wickedness that is present. Isaiah, the Bible said in 48:22, there is no peace, saith the Lord, to the wicked. In Isaiah 57:21, it's repeated, there is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. That's just a little bit of an introduction tonight. I want to look at the chapter now for just a few minutes. I wanted to just want you to know tonight that if you've made peace with God, beloved, you can rest tonight in the promises of God. You can rest tonight in the presence of God. You can rest tonight in knowing that God hears and answers prayer. You can rest tonight in knowing, listen, that the government's not in control. Hallelujah! The God of heaven is in control. Amen. We can rest in that tonight because we know that he's coming. I want you to see several things tonight quickly in this text that I believe ought to bring rest in our hearts and lives as the world is in trouble all around us. And by the way, you say, preacher, I'm doing pretty good tonight. That may change before the sun comes up. Your phone may ring before the sun comes up. Your chest, you may grab it before the sun comes up. How many knows what I'm talking about? It may be your spouse, maybe your youngin', maybe your mom, maybe your dad. And beloved, we just need to understand tonight, listen, that there's a curse on this world. Amen. But the curse is fixing to be lifted. The book of Revelation said there'll be no more curse. I thank God for that day that's coming when Jesus gets here. Amen. Let's look at some things tonight. First of all, we ought to rest. Look at Paul, the first verse. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I picked up on something tonight. We ought to rest because of the church. Watch that. Watch this now tonight. Listen to me. You say, preacher, I don't find any rest in the church. I do. Let me tell you something. Jesus loves the church. Amen. Listen, when he's talking about the church, he's not talking about some electronic church. Say amen. He's talking about the local church. And beloved, listen, what a rest because of the church, that we're part of the church of the living God. Amen. I tell you tonight, I thought about that family that's been up there with Brother Brian and Sister Kim, and they're from the Chicago area. And when I ask about the church background, there is none. Listen to me tonight. Yes, amen, Brother Ralph. We ought to thank God for the church. And we ought to rest in the fact that we have a church. And that Jesus, listen, we didn't join. We were born, amen, into the church of the living God. We joined the local church. We were born into, my friend, the bride of Christ. And tonight, I want you to thank God for the church. I was thinking about this tonight. The Bible is talking about here rest in trouble and things of that nature. Brother Brian and I went for a little walk, real little stroll the other day. At times he would feel like using his walker. I think only one time he used his crutches. And several times we took a stroll in the wheelchair. Now you ought to see somebody like me trying to push a wheelchair with one arm and hold that dolly with the other arm with all that stuff on it. Brother Brian, we got about, I guess, two-thirds of the way down through there, the second trip. He said, would you like for me to put this out there in front of me and push it? I said, would I? Amen. That let me put two hands on. I told Brother Brian, I said, I'll just come up with an invention. Might make us some money. I said, it'll slip over both them handles on the wheelchair and let me put my hand in the middle. Amen. You push the mace, you okay, try pushing it with one handle, amen. It's hard to do. We got off the elevator there. We were getting ready to get off the elevator, and a man got on. Listen to me tonight. I'm going somewhere tonight. The man that got on, right there he had a nub, and right there he had a nub. That's all he had was a nub. I don't know if it was an accident. I couldn't see any evidence of surgery. I don't know if he was born without hands. We got back to the room. I said, Brother Brown, I want to ask you a question. I said, would you rather have one leg or would you rather have no hands? He didn't hesitate. He said, one leg. You say, why'd you say that, preacher? Because you don't have to look far. You don't have to look long to see somebody's got a little tougher than you do. You think about that, amen? Think about that. I told Brother Brian, I said, what would I do? How would I turn the pages in my Bible? I'm telling you tonight, we ought to thank God for a lot of things we don't thank Him for. But one thing we ought to thank Him for every day is the church of the living God. We ought to thank God for the church. Amen. Hallelujah. Some people can take it or leave it. Not me. I got to have the church. Amen. Got to have it. Amen. The Bible said, grace unto you and peace from God our Father, from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now watch this. Not only the church, we ought to rest because of the church. Look at verse 3. He said, we're bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet. That word means fitting. It's appropriate. The Apostle Paul said, listen, I'm thanking God for you. It's the right thing to do. It's appropriate. Watch this now. He said, because your faith groweth exceedingly. Let me ask you something. Have you ever heard this? Where is the most fertile soil? In the valley. Have you heard what I just said? How many by nature understands and will admit we like to avoid the valleys? But the most fertile soil is in the valley. Here's the church being persecuted for what they stand for what they believe. And yet their faith is growing. And I don't think it's any accident, but God said, I want you to know it's growing exceedingly. Amen? Now watch this. The next thing I want you to see, not only the church ought to cause us to rest, but the charity. Look at verse number 3. And the charity of every one of you all toward each other, then he uses this word, aboundeth. He likes to use adjectives. He's telling us that it's not just a little bit of faith, but it's grown exceedingly. It's not just a little bit of love. That goes back to that statement, if you believe right, you'll behave right. You love God, you'll love the saints of God. You love sinners, you'll love your enemy. That's what the Bible teaches. How many believes that tonight? He said, well, that's got you loving everybody. Everybody except the devil. Say amen. That's what God wants us to do. Amen. We need to learn to be a little bit more like Jesus in this area and learn to love people, but never love sin. We can love sinners without loving sin, without loving their sin. Let me just say this, we can love saints without loving their sin. Some people wouldn't understand what I just said, but I said it. It's the truth. We say that we're without sin. We're just not telling the truth. Amen. We're not lining up with the book. But I tell you this, we ought to sin less and less and less. And we ought to be sanctified, holy. But we're going to mess up once in a while. I'll get to that after a while in the lesson. Watch this now. He said, the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. Now watch this. So that we ourselves glory in you in, watch this now, the churches. God showed me something right here. We've taught you this, and I've believed this for years. We're not the only ones preaching the truth in this area. We're not the only church on the globe that's doing the right thing. Say amen. And so Paul, he said, rest because you're in the church. But rest because, hallelujah, there are churches in the world that believe just like we believe. Have the same book we have. Preach the same blood we do. Preach the same blessed hope that we do. Hallelujah tonight. Not just for our church, But the churches of God that are scattered out all over the globe. I tell you what, if you don't appreciate the churches, just become a missionary. Try that on, amen? Because your livelihood comes from the churches. They don't all come from one church. It comes from the churches of the living God. God's been good to us. What a rest because of the church. What a rest because of the charity. What a rest because of the churches. Yes, we're in a world of trouble. There's trouble on every side. The Bible said it's a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you also suffer. Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. I want to give you this now, fourthly tonight in the message. What a rest. The Bible said here in verse number 7, to you who are troubled, rest with us. Then it uses the word when. I believe we can rest now, but I believe there remains a rest. Right now, our rest gets interrupted. That's what we were reading to you about over there with Paul. There were times in his life when he wasn't resting too good. But you know what? I believe with all of my heart, he knew that that day when Jesus comes, our rest would be perfected. There remaineth, therefore, a rest to the people of God. Watch this now. The Bible said to you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me just give you this tonight. Number 4, the choice. I tell you why we ought to rest tonight. How many knows that when, listen, you receive Christ as your Savior, the Holy Ghost spoke to you, you took him as your Savior, that was the right choice. Amen. The Bible is telling us right here, there are going to be a lot of people when Jesus comes made the right choice, but there's going to be a multitude of people that rejected him, that are going to suffer in that day. I'll tell you tonight, I just thank God that my salvation is not in my stewardship. It's not in my service, but it's in my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And I thank God tonight for the choice that the Spirit of God helped me to make that night when I was lost and undone without God or his Son. Look at verse 9. The Bible said they'll be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. When? Here it is again. He's coming. When he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe. Beloved, Jesus wants to be glorified in the saints of God. How many believes that tonight? And the Bible said, he wants to be admired. I believe this tonight. If you know him, you love him. And if you love him, you admire him. And you're looking forward to that day when you'll see him. And when you'll be like him. For you'll see him as he is. In verse number 9, some are going to be punished. Why? Because of a choice. Some are going to be glorified. And have the Lord glorified in them. And they're going to admire the Lord. He said, because of our testimony among you was believed in that day. Listen tonight, I'm not a fool. I believe with all of my heart. There's a church at Thessalonica. How many's in it? 3,500? I don't know. But I do know this. According to the Bible, straight is the way. Straight is the gate that leadeth to life eternal. Few there be that find it. By the way, listen to me. This will help you tonight. This will help you. This letter to the Thessalonians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, tells us this. The Apostle Paul, yes, he's going to tell us the truth about those that rejected. But I'm going to tell you something tonight. Listen to me carefully. He is going to concentrate on those who received. That's where his blessing is tonight. He is going to concentrate not on that did not go God's way, but thank God on that did go God's way. Those that did receive the Lord. those that chose to receive him. Then let me give you this tonight in closing. Just a word here in verse number 11. I want you to look at verse 11 and 12, and I call this the challenge. You say, preacher, what do you mean? I'm going to tell you something tonight. I believe I've been preaching this for years, that as we near the coming of the Lord, the heat's going to be turned up on God's people. There's going to be more trouble on every side. The songwriter said years ago, when waves of trouble are over my head, what I need to remember is they're under his feet. Amen. When Peter saw the wind boisterous and began to sink, he said, Lord, save me. He said, where was the Lord? He is right where he was the whole time, walking on the water. Amen. This world's in a mess. But I'm going to tell you something. Our Savior's above this mess. Are you listening? Our Savior's still reaching down and helping people that's in this mess. And we ought to rest tonight in the challenge that he leaves with us. Look at verse 11. Wherefore also we pray always for you. What's the challenge? That our God would count you worthy of this calling. Let me ask you something tonight. You can just read that and read on through it. Since you've been saved, I'm not talking about you when you was a full-blown sinner. I'm talking about after you was born again. Has there ever been a time when there's been something in your life you'd say, preacher, I wasn't walking worthy of that calling? Help me tonight. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say, listen, it's a challenge to live for God in the midst of the trouble that's on every side. But we can do it. How can we do it, preacher? By the grace of God. How can we do it, preacher? With the help of God, we can do it. How can we do it, preacher? As we lean on the Savior. How can we do it, preacher? Listen to me carefully. As we lean on the saints. We're not in this alone. We don't have to go it alone. Amen. We're an army. Amen. Bible weighs just one unit in that army. But thank God for the unit. Thank God for the church. Here the Bible said that our God would count you worthy of his calling. Watch this now. And fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness. How many wants God's will fulfilled in your life? That's a challenge. That's a challenge Paul's given us here. That's what God wants to do, is fulfill his good pleasure, fulfill his will, and the work of faith with power. Now watch this. So that you and I can be glorified? No. The Bible said the whole reason is that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you. Isn't that a reason tonight to walk worthy of this calling? Isn't that a reason tonight to walk pleasing, to walk in his will? Jesus is coming. Now let me tell you something tonight. A believer that gets out of his will be met with much unrest. A believer that can't get a hold of God will be met with much unrest. You say, preacher, why'd you say that? If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. That's what the Bible said. Amen. I'm going to tell you something tonight. There's rest in fellowship with the Lord. There's rest in walking in the light of his word. The name of the Lord Jesus Christ might be glorified in you and ye in him. And then the Bible said, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Years ago, Brother Tom Hayes wrote a song. It said, all of grace is my story, all the way from earth to glory. Since by grace he lifted me from sin and woe, living grace he has extended, as on him my heart depended. And there'll be new grace when it's my time to go. Tonight I believe with all of my heart that God gives grace that we might be pleasing unto him, that he might be glorified in us, and that we might be glorified in him. Isn't it sad that some people want to be glorified when he comes, but they don't want him to have the glory now? You know, I believe the Lord has taught me something in recent days in my prayer life. I didn't always pray this way, but I believe the Lord has taught me this. There's such thing as medicine. There's such thing as doctors. If you spend enough time around nursing homes, hospitals, here's what God has taught me. That is this. It's okay to give the doctors credit. That man may have studied, that man that operated on Brother Brian probably studied 12 to 15 years and is probably still studying. How many knows what I just said? It's okay to give the doctors credit, long as we never forget to give God the glory. Because Brother Rose, God gave that doctor that mind. God gave that doctor those hands. They operated on Miss Emma's, Brother Merv's son-in-law today. Three of the tumors were going to come out with what they call a cyber knife. I don't know exactly what that is, but I understand it's precision. It's way less invasive. Somebody thought of that. I say give him the credit, but give God the glory. One of them, they had to go in and physically remove, I guess the old-fashioned way, you say. We can give God the glory and at the same time give those who have worked and labored and studied, amen, give them the credit. Rest, Paul said, you who are troubled, rest. I like what he said, with us. I'm in this church. I thank God for the church. Amen. I thank God for the churches. I thank God for the charity among God's people. I thank God for the choice. Jesus. Everybody's not hearing this gospel in the world. But Jesus is the only way to heaven. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And I thank God when I read these verses, the Lord challenged my life. You better live for me, son, that Jesus might get the glory. Amen. I mean, he's glad you come tonight. Appreciate you being here for prayer meeting. I really do. Pray about the services Sunday. Let's pray for the lost. Come out and visit with us. If you've never done that, it'd be a blessing. Somebody go with you. I've got some people on my heart, on my mind. Let's go visit Saturday. Try to be a blessing to somebody along life's way. Anybody got anything on your heart tonight before we go? Amen. Amen. I appreciate the Lord. Appreciate you tonight. Let's stand. We'll be dismissed in prayer. Thank you for coming.